And my reading is taken from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? It's the pagans who run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I heard about a man who went to a psychologist, and he said, Doctor, sometimes I feel like a teepee, and other times I feel like a wigwam. The doctor thought about it for a moment, and then he said, I'd better treat you for anxiety. You're too tense. So I know I've got your attention with that stupid joke. I might add that anxiety is no joke. As I think I've mentioned before, I was a great fan of Peanuts, the strip cartoon that used to appear in some of the newspapers. In one that I remember, Linus, dragging his inevitable comfort blanket, says to Charlie Brown, you look kind of depressed. I worry a lot, Charlie Brown replies. Then he adds, I worry about my worrying so much. And as Charlie and Linus sit on the log together, Charlie sighs and says, even my worries have worries. In our world, stress is a way of life. And so many people are filled with anxiety about so many things. Nearly everyone you meet complains of being stressed out. Many complain of being tired or of being sick. A major part of the National Health Service exists to treat stress-related illnesses. We have a people that for the most part are either sick or tired or even both. And what are people worrying about? They worry about the cost of living, not having enough money, personal relationships, their job or their lack of job, what they're going to wear. And I'm sure that most of us here can remember when we worried about the Russians taking over the world, about the nuclear bomb, about AIDS, and now we're being encouraged to worry about climate change and global warming and the situation in Ukraine. There's always something to worry about. Perhaps even our worries have worries. Do you experience anxiety in your life? Are there nagging issues, nagging problems, nagging worries over health, finances, work, relationships? Do you think that you don't have much success in dealing with these kinds of problems? Have you accepted worry and anxiety as natural parts of your life? Well, of course, we're not the first people to experience stress and anxiety, although we may think that ours is greater than anyone else's. But anxiety has been around for a long time, and it's been afflicting people since time began. In Jesus' day, anxiety was everywhere, as it is today. The people standing on that mountainside while Jesus talked to them in this morning's text were no different than you or me. They had to deal with the problems of paying their bills, feeding their families, pleasing their employers, raising their children, paying taxes, and saving for the future, just like we do. And they also had the problem that their country was being occupied by the Roman army. So what did Jesus say to them to help them deal with the pressures and fears of living? Well, Jesus didn't skirt the issue, nor did he give them some pious platitude. He gave them a cure for anxiety. He dealt directly with the cause and the cure for the worried, anxious heart. Jesus plainly says, "Do not worry." Was he serious? How can he expect us not to worry, considering the many things in which we have to deal? Well, the obvious answer is, well, Jesus was and still is serious. And it's not only serious, he gives us the reasons why it's pointless to worry. We shouldn't be anxious because there's more to life than things. He speaks of people being anxious over food, clothing, and length of life. And he reminds them that life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. And anyway, by worrying, none of us can add a single day to our lifespan. In other words, anxiety is futile because life is more than things. It's more than the material. It's more than the physical. It has eternal dimensions to it that are beyond us. So many of us today measure our life in terms of the material things that surround us. But these things are deceptive in nature. While they may appear to have lasting value and worth, they are by nature temporary. In a moment, they could be gone. And what's more, they're not nearly as important as so many other things. Husband, wife, children, family, friends, all have a higher priority, or they should have, than things. Virtues like honesty and integrity, kindness and mercy, patience and faithfulness and love are all far more important than material stuff. Life is more than things. Don't let them control your thoughts. We should also not be anxious because we have a Heavenly Father who will provide. Pointing to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and observing that they are both fed and clothed by their Heavenly Father, Jesus makes several important points. As he points out, it's obvious that they don't spend any time worrying about things. I must admit that I've never seen a bird flying around wringing its hands over where it's going to find a worm. And lilies are not taking extra strength pain reliever because of tension headache. God takes care of them. And Jesus points out that we are worth much more than they are. And if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown in the furnace, will he not do much more for you? If we're going to conquer worry, we must come to the realization that God loves us and that he will take care of us. But so many people simply are not convinced of that fact. And many of them are Christians. But if you really believe that God is in charge and that he loves you and he'll meet your needs, then you can relax in faith. If for some reason you don't believe that God will take care of you, then you'll be unable to relax. You'll feel it's up to you to take care of all your needs, physical, emotional, and even spiritual. But Jesus tells us we shouldn't be anxious because we can only live one day at a time. In other words, we can only live in the present, in today. And that should be obvious, but to many it isn't. They know that tomorrow is coming, and they're determined to worry about it. Someone once said that worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. And of course that's right. Being anxious over what might happen and may not yet come at all is to be suffering in advance for something that might never happen. It's living in the what ifs. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Well, what if it doesn't? And anyway, what if it does? Won't you have enough time to worry about it then? Jesus said that each day has enough troubles of its own. Deal with today, let tomorrow take care of itself. After all, tomorrow never comes. When it gets here, it's today. As someone said, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Are you borrowing tomorrow's troubles? Have you developed a lifestyle of worry? Chronic worriers often worry about not having something to worry about. But don't turn into one. Determine to live today and turn tomorrow over to the Lord. I once saw a program on TV about the American Civil Rights Movement and how it had affected American politics over the last 70 years or so. During that program, we heard of a black woman by the name of Fannie Lou Hamer. And she was a typical poor black woman from the deep south of the USA. And she rose to prominence as a civil rights worker. Her particular talent was in singing the protest songs, and she could carry a crowd of thousands with her songs. Like all civil rights workers, she came from a very deprived background, and her life was one of a long struggle of not having enough to eat, of working long hours for really low wages, of poor education, and facing constant racial discrimination. And these conditions spurred her on to fight hard and long for the freedom of her people. But what struck me most about the account of the life of Fannie Lou Hamer, and it still sticks in my memory, was the inscription on her tombstone. It simply read, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." And I believe a lot of people can share in that sentiment. If you're like Fannie Lou Hamer and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then Jesus gave an answer for you. He says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus issues the supreme challenge to every believer. He tells us that our focus should be God's kingdom and righteousness. If our focus is on us, then we'll continually be worried about us. But if our focus is on the things of God, then we'll be concerned with something other than us. To be concerned or focused on God's kingdom is to be involved in the extension and expansion of his kingdom. It's a desire to see his kingdom rule flourish everywhere. And that, of course, means that we desire to see his kingdom come in our lives. We desire to see his will done in our lives. And unless we submit ourselves to his authority in practical ways, we've not come under his rule. To say that he is the Lord of our lives, as a living contradiction to his will expressed in his word, is a lie. To seek his kingdom is to seek our lives, our families, our marriages, our work, our finances, all under his authority. It's to seek to do his will. To seek his righteousness is to seek to live by dependence on his life in us. We have no righteousness of our own. Even as Christians, we have none. The righteousness we bear is credited righteousness. That means that the righteousness of another is counted as our own. When Jesus died on the cross, he died there for you and me. When he paid the penalty for our sin, his righteousness was credited to us. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. It's his, not ours. Therefore, we can never boast in our own good works or righteous deeds. We didn't save ourselves by good works, and we did not keep ourselves saved by good works. It's all by the grace of God through faith. So we must live daily depending on the life of Christ. We must come to him and seek his face. We must read his word and pray. We must open our hearts to him and humble ourselves to receive from him all that we need. We must trust in his work in us to bring us to maturity. And we can't do it for ourselves. He began the work in us, and he must complete it. When we stand before God in the final day, none of us will say to the Lord that we're responsible for being there. We will marvel at the grace of God. Jesus said that you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It should be the first on our priority list. There is nothing more important than that. Do you really believe that statement? Well, most of us would say yes. But if we really did believe that there's nothing more important than the Lord, why do we live as though almost everything else is more important than Him? Although professing to believe in God, we often turn everything to everything else before God. I heard of two church deacons who were discussing the financial situation of the church, and one said to the other, "Well, I suppose we should pray about this." And the other replied with concern, "Oh dear, is it really as bad as that?" Well, indeed it is as bad as that. Our challenge is to put the Lord first in every area of our lives. And as we do, our needs will be met as we focus on Him. That's what Jesus promised, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, as we concern ourselves with the things of God, He will concern Himself with the things that we need. This is one of the divine paradoxes in Scripture. A paradox is a statement that contradicts itself. Jesus told us if we sought to save our lives, we would lose them. But if we gave them away, we would find them. And that's a paradox. Here we're told that if we turn our attention away from our needs, then our needs will be met. Another paradox. We believe that if we don't take care of our concerns, no one will. But God asks us to believe the opposite. He asks us to trust Him. He asks us to focus on Him. He asks us to put Him first in all things. And that's the challenge for all believers, to practically trust Christ. That is to live out what you have to believe. It's to make Him Lord over your life in practical ways. And that, of course, is the cure for anxiety. I'm anxious when I think that I'm alone in this life. I'm anxious when I think that it all depends on me. I'm anxious when I don't trust in the goodness and provision of the Lord to take care of me. I'm anxious when my focus is on me and my needs. And I'm anxious when I think I need to manipulate circumstances to get my needs met. But when I trust, genuinely trust in the Lord, the anxiety level falls rapidly. And the choice is ours. We could choose to borrow trouble from tomorrow and live life as God is not there, or we can trust Him and seek Him with all our hearts. The prophet Habakkuk gave us a challenge when he said in chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour." He knew that whatever came about, whether good or bad, his trust should be in the Lord. So, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the answer is there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen.